Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your favorite time of week. You get you something cold to drink, unless you're up north, and you get something warm. And you're getting ready to download the crazy sheet, and we're going to talk about some college football. I'm Mark, and I'm here in the podcasting studio, and Scotty is at home. Brother, how the hell are you?
And I'm good. Had a nice Christmas. Getting ready for New Year's. I'm doing exactly what I want to do on New Year's, which is absolutely nothing. it is fabulous. Should be great. I will open a bottle of wine, relax. Probably will not see midnight. It'll be outstanding.
You're in a better situation.
My home, yeah. So it's great.
You're in a better situation than I am. I mean, I've got college kids at home. I've got seniors in high school. And, I mean, my house just looks like a flop house of people that roll through here on a daily basis. And so I am ready for school to start back up because it's just been a – turnstile of a barstool door at my house for the last 3.5 weeks, and so I'll be happy to see that move on.
I can imagine. Yeah, that would be. I'd be ready to move on from that. So I wouldn't say I'm ready to get back to work because it'll hit pretty hard, but probably need a little more structure too.
Yeah, we'll be fine once we get there. But so bowl season, we haven't had a chance to hook up since long before Christmas. We put some picks out there, did okay. And, you know, time got caught up with this. You and I do this for fun, just trying to share some of our love for college football with folks and going through it. It's been interesting. Like, you literally have to be combing beat writers to try to figure out who's playing, who's opting out. The biggest game I missed is what I've played. And as I told you when we started this, I was going to play everything light because I wasn't sure what you were going to get. I've come in heavy on a couple. Auburn yesterday. No showing in that Maryland game. I was very impressed with what Mike Locksley did. And, you know, he's been a good coach for Maryland. I mean, they've done a really good job. I wasn't high on the hire, but that team's, I think, you know, they've won 8 games in 4 years in a row consecutively. They haven't been been this competitive since Friedgen was there all those years ago. And so he's done a good job. But, man, if you're Auburn, I think you really have to be concerned about the general direction of the program at this point.
Yeah, I'm stunned. Did you see Freeze's comments?
Yeah.
After the game about basically he's been recruiting. He wasn't really involved in the game plan. I'm like, well, that's pretty solid. I mean, that was a puzzling statement to me. And look, he obviously needs to be recruiting. That roster's pretty naked. He's doing a good job, but at the end of the day, the portal is what he needs.
Yeah.
They have not performed in that nearly as well as I thought they would.
You know, we got a lot of Washington fans, and I always enjoy the commentary. We got a lot of fans from the University of Zero, too, in Oregon. There's a great article in The Athletic. I don't remember when it came out, but I was thinking about this the other day because I've been high on Washington all season. Dude, we are only 2 seasons removed from fucking Jimmy Lake running Washington to a 4-8 schedule that season, and Kalen DeBoer's got him in the national championship tournament. And they did a great job of breaking down like how to build your roster. And I think, you know, last year Prime, you heard a lot about it because of Dion at Colorado. But you know, Jake Spavital a couple of years ago when he was at Texas State, realizing he was kind of at the end of his rope. Remember, he didn't bring a freshman in that one time. Everybody was JUCO or transfer. Prime got a lot of it because he was like going to reboot the roster and everybody was criticizing him one way or the other. But, you know, and Prime got a lot of good. He went and got what he needed in this transfer portal cycle. He went to the trench and he got some players, which is where he was really hurting last year. And then you look at, I mean, can we go ahead and assume that Lane Kiffin is the wizard of the transfer portal? Because that dude, I mean, he gets the right guys.
The Rebels have taken out a gigantic loan. They are just betting on the come. And if you look at that schedule, I don't know how you don't do it next year with what they get. Because, look, I will also tell you, they're about to have to pay some guys,
sure,
probably more than they're paying them to keep them.
Sure.
So if they want to get their quarterback back, they're going to have to pay Dart at least $2 million. And he's not making that right now. And if they want to get their running back, he's going to be $400 or $500. Now, I heard they were paying him $400, but I don't know what in the world he could get in the portal. If you're a running back away And you got, because that Ole Miss line, look, he ran for 1,000 yards. First bowl game, 100-yard rusher they've had since 2010. That kid, and I think he's the first running back ever for them to run for 1,000 his first 2 years. You look at what that kid's done behind what it was a really bad Ole Miss offensive line, and you watch them in that bowl game yesterday, and they're just as shitty yesterday because they almost got their QB killed. But they literally have gone out and just gotten great player after great player, defensive line, edge rushers. They signed a really good corner from Mississippi State.
Yeah.
I mean, they've gone out and they've done a great job in the portal, but, man, they are spending some money. And that's not sustainable. What they're doing is not sustainable. When you're having to take out loans to do this. Now, if they go 11-1 and make the playoff next year, Ole Miss fans are going to pony up. But my point is it's not sustainable. When you go, I've had these conversations, and truly what they're looking for is what can you donate to sustain? Is it $300 a month? Is it $1,000 a month? Is it $10,000 a month? Whatever level of donation you're on, they need to know what you can do every year repeatedly.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss is not in that. They're not in that. But they don't care. They're just going balls to the wall to try to win now because they see an opportunity, and I see an opportunity. Everybody that listens to this podcast knows I have no love lost for Oxford. And I am telling you, they're nuts to not be doing what they're doing. They're going to be damn good next year. And that schedule is honestly, it might go 12-0.
They've got a shot. I
mean, they're good. They're going to go 10-2. If they're average, I mean, if they have some hiccups along the way, their best non-conference game is at Wake Forest. They're going to gas can Wake Forest. I mean, that ain't like a road game in the SEC. That's going to be like a spring game. I mean, they're going to have 35,000-40,000 people there. They're going to go in there and kill them. Early in the year, they play Middle Tennessee, Furman, Georgia Southern. I mean, their hardest games are all at home. They get OU at home. They get Georgia at home. They're at Baton Rouge and at Gainesville is really the only two hard road games. They get Mississippi State at home, a big rival. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, if they win in Baton Rouge, that team may go undefeated.
I'll tell you what, if you're a fan of – or if you're trying to keep up with the portal, I think the best website I've found is theportalreport.com. We don't have any affiliation with anybody, but it's that one I showed you that's got the SQL search engine on it. It's really nice. You can get in there and, you know, see who's out there, who's available, where they're going, their star ratings. I mean, and you still got players that are jumping in this thing yesterday. I mean, starters that have had, you know, made big contributions to teams that are still jumping in this thing. It's an interesting time, college football. I have enjoyed the bowl games. They have made me hungrier for next year when we go to the 12-team playoff. I'm pretty excited about that. But there's been some decent games here and there. And I think tomorrow's slate, January the 1st, I think could be pretty good. And I'm looking forward to the four college football semifinal games as we get ready to go into the Natty. I've got a couple of Natty future tickets I'm pretty excited about. But we got five games to break down. Oh, I got the garbage dog out here. We got five games to break down, looking at what we got from here, Scott. And so I think we dive in and see if we can't find some nuggets on how to play these out. What's your thoughts?
Man, I'm excited about it. I actually like all five of these games. I have a firm opinion on all five games, which really the bowl games, I went through a little heater, but man, bowl games are a crapshoot right now.
Oh yeah,
I mean, 100%. But there are so many guys, if you're not close to the program, you don't know if your team's going to show up. I mean, I know Kirby Smart was talking, oh, we want to send these seniors out the right way. And they really didn't have that many opt-outs. I mean, they really didn't. You think, man, they're going to come, but you don't see them coming out and hanging. I mean, because they could have hung 70 on them. You don't see a 63-3. I know the FSU roster is completely decimated with injuries and guys opting out. But still, I mean, Georgia was up. They wanted to play. They want to be there. The exact opposite with Auburn. They had no desire to be there. Their roster was in better shape than the Maryland roster, and they get gas team. I mean, it, unless you're close to the program, it's hard. It's hard gambling in some of these games. But these teams have got in the portal. So I'm kind of excited. I mean, and obviously for the championship teams, nobody relevant is gone. So we're getting a real read on those.
Let's jump in. First one, Scott, the Reliquest. Apparently, I can't say that made-up word. I'll be played in Tampa. Always love seeing college football games at Raymond James Stadium because it makes so much sense to have a college football game in a stadium with a giant fucking pirate ship. It gets me excited all the way around. You got LSU and Wisconsin playing in this one. Line here has been pretty steady. LSU minus 10 in this one that you've got from the standpoint, and the over-under is at 57. Diving into this one, you've got an LSU team that's been one of the most explosive offenses in the country. Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, which good for him to win the Heisman. That was the right vote. He's opted out, which I would too, getting ready for the NFL draft. I mean, that guy, think about that guy. He's 2.5 years removed from leaving Arizona State and his teammates fucking dog cussing him on Twitter, putting videos out to winning the Heisman. And he's probably going to text those guys and be like, hey, I hope y'all enjoy y'all's construction jobs next year when I'm in the NFL.
That's pretty accurate because, look, he's had a pretty good run since he left.
Yeah, and so anyway, but he won't be playing, but you got Nussmeier's playing. Nussmeier's put a lot of time in. He's got some reps last year. He's got some reps this year. He's definitely going to be competing for the starting job for this LSU squad next year. And Malik Nabers supposedly is going to play, and they say that he may come out of the game if he sets the LSU season record in that one, so we'll have to see with that one. Wisconsin, on the other hand, Braylon Allen has opted out for this game to get ready for the draft. Ches Malusi's been hurt for a while at this point, and then they've got several other key opt-outs in this spot. And so when you start to look at this game and break it down, I'm leaning LSU minus the 10. I think you'll get a full effort out of that roster. It's in pretty good shape. I've been pretty vocal that I think the Big Ten this year was overrated, and I don't think that Wisconsin hasn't been good all season for the most part, and much less consistent. And so I have a hard time believing that they're going to step up in this spot and put something together. I think they did a hard job of doing some recruiting, trying to make sure they could lock in a good high school class, because this is still a new coaching staff. They needed some portal transfers to come in. You know, Phil Longo was here 2 weeks ago. Longo was here 2 weeks ago, making sure he was locking up his quarterback that's coming from here. And so, I love Fickell and Longo, and I hope they do really good things at Wisconsin, because frankly, it's one of my favorite teams in the Big Ten to cheer for. But I just don't know the state of mind that this team's going to come in with. I think you'll get some hard fight, but I think this LSU team wants to finish on a strong note, even with Nuss quarterbacking. I'll lay the 10 with LSU here and feel comfortable about it.
Yeah, I just think with you, the roster is in better shape. Here's the deal with Nuss. He's been serving his time, as you've mentioned, waiting his time. LSU needs to find out, is he the guy?
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. And do they hit the portal? I mean, this is a football guy. His dad's a quarterback's coach in the NFL. He's obviously a guy who understands the game. He just needs to go make it happen. And this roster being mostly intact is pretty good. If I thought Wisconsin could score at all, the over would be an obvious play in this game because LSU's defense is awful. It's been awful all year. Pretty much anybody can score on them, but everybody except Mississippi State, that was. I don't have the love for that I probably should. I do think LSU's going to cover this game just because I think the roster's better. So I like LSU here as well.
Yeah, LSU's getting all the money, all the tickets. So you got the public pretty much leaning on the favorites, which that's not an odd situation. Moving on, Scotty, the Liberty.
I mentioned that Wisconsin having a lot of guys in the portal. Make no mistake, and I want to get this. I think a lot of those guys were put in the portal.
Yeah,
I think they either were problems. They weren't guys that bought in, whatever it is. When you see that many guys from a program like Wisconsin that's got a new coaching staff, a lot of those guys were put in the portal. They're not choosing to leave. They're being forced to leave.
Sure.
And that may help their psyche. We may see – this is the crazy part about bowl games. You may see a different Wisconsin team. They may have taken the turds out of the punch bowl. You just don't know. That's the thing. But I like LSU on this bet.
I do too. Next game, let's go to the Fiesta Bowl. Liberty, Aragon. Speaking of the Fiesta Bowl, did you watch any of the Fenway Bowl?
A little bit.
With BC and SMU. Yeah. So no one's going to remember this, but I remember years ago, maybe I was like high school, so 30 years ago, they played the Fiesta Bowl, and the field was in terrible condition. Like every time somebody would cut, it was blowing the grass out. You're seeing sand fly everywhere. The Liberty Bowl literally looked like a golf round, like between, or not the Liberty, the Fenway Bowl. Between every stoppage of play, it was like greenskeepers were running out there and putting the green sand down where you had a divot from where you hit a really hard 7-iron or something in a fairway. That field was in the shittiest condition. Quit playing football on baseball stadiums. It's a terrible idea. It's a terrible idea.
It's a terrible idea. And nobody from Dallas, Texas wants to go to Boston in the winter and play in the rain, sleet, whatever the hell that was. That they were in. That was awful. Yeah. And not a reward for SMU at all.
No. You should play if you're playing a bowl game north of the Mason-Dixon line, it needs to be in a dome, in my personal opinion. Because just the weather, the chances that the weather is going to be good are just so slim. And so, anyway, and I like watching. I mean, that's why I love the Rose Bowls, when the game gets played and everything else. But sorry about that, little off charts. But anyway, Fiesta Bowl, Oregon comes in here laying 17 against the Liberty team. Liberty team's undefeated. Jamie Chadwell's done a heck of a job with this Liberty squad. Roster's been pretty well intact coming into this. Oregon comes in here laying 17. Of course, we just watched them lose to Washington. Their only two losses on the season, both times to Washington. Lines at 17, over-under here is at 68. Looks like most of the tickets and the money are on the Oregon side, which is not surprising. I don't really have an opinion on this game. 17's a lot to lay, but if Oregon comes in with any bit of focus, this Liberty roster is completely outmatched.
I totally agree. Look, Liberty has to run the football, and this Oregon's defense, pretty good run defense. So I expect that to be a problem. 17 is a lot, but hey, I thought 21.5 was a lot. It was 22 at kickoff with Georgia yesterday. Boy, was I wrong. So, I was like, woo, that's a lot. Wasn't nearly enough. As it turned out, could have been 60. Or could have been 59.5 and you cover. But I was a little off on that. I'm going to take the 17 here. I just think Oregon's going to be ready to play. You're going out west. This is obviously a big reward for Liberty. Being in this situation, playing in the Fiesta Bowl for a school like Liberty is always a big deal. But Liberty's actually had more people hit the portal than more starters that opt out for portal and things like that than Oregon has, which is kind of a surprise to me. But I guess not also because you got Liberty guys who are leaving to go get paid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line. And so I like Oregon here. I think Nick's playing is the difference. I think that defense is going to hold Liberty at bay. But I think Nick's playing is a big deal in these kinds of games. And I think they dominate this game.
I would lean that way, yeah. So I will probably sit and watch this one. But I'm interested to see what kind of effort. But I think you're right. If Oregon comes out, I just can't see this being the Tulane USC scenario from last year. And so that's where I would lean with Oregon here. And so I would lean their way, but I don't have a play. Next one.
Speaking of, before we go, can we visit the USC game for a minute? For every NFL GM? Do you know how much better they looked with their backup quarterback?
Good Lord.
It's amazing when a quarterback's actually trying to play quarterback instead of playing knee football, how good that team looked. I was stunned. I'm telling you, that's a major red flag if you're an NFL guy. If you selling your franchise to get that dude, you're an idiot. He's got lots of question marks.
Well, and if you're
as much about leadership as it is ability.
Well, if you're trying to bet the NFL currently, it's difficult because it's almost like you're trying to figure out who's playing in bowl games. Because I think 16 backup NFL quarterbacks will start today, and these are teams that are in playoff contention. So building a quarterback roster in the NFL is hard as shit. So I can't imagine. Yeah. I mean, this is a really good quarterback class that'll be coming into us. I think we're going to do some shows as we get into maybe even doing some college football handicapping for the draft. But this is a really good quarterback class. So I don't think it's one of those that it's Caleb Williams or bust for the number one pick. I think there's several players in this draft that you could look at to say this guy could be a franchise quarterback for us. And you see how easy it is to miss, because if you look at Carolina and you watch them play this year with Bryce Young at all, then you got to be questioning, is this guy going to be able to carry a franchise or not? And C.J. Stroud at Texas, you know, for the Texans looks fantastic. You know, you take.
But they got line.
Well, they do. But I mean, look at Justin Fields from Ohio State. That guy was awesome when he was there. So much fun to watch. And in the Bears system, I mean, he looks like RG. He looks like he's 3 years away from being RG3 in the sense that he can't do much but run. He can. He's got some rockets, but the physicality of his game is going to get worn out. And so I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting dynamic trying to find an NFL quarterback is got to be one of the hardest jobs I can imagine. So anyway. Tennessee, Iowa. I'm excited for this one. Iowa getting 5. Over-under here in a bowl game. Ready for this one? 35.5 is where we laid here. And 80% of the money is on the under in this one, which makes sense. Tennessee, I think a lot of people, you know, if they just are casually looking in, they're going to remember the high-flying Tennessee team from last year. This was a completely different Tennessee team this year. They relied a lot more on the run. They've got a fantastic defensive line. They leaned on this defense quite a bit this year. Biggest opt-out in this game is going to be Milton. He's not going to play, but they're bringing in Dylan Riala. Isn't that the kid's name? The freshman that's the starter? Or is that the kid that – yeah, I think that's right. No, he's the kid going to Nebraska. But anyway, it's the true freshman quarterback that was their big-time recruit will be coming into this one. I lean Big Ten here. This Iowa defense is gross, man, and I think you get a good showing from this Ferentz squad. Iowa's been good in bowl games over the years.
I like Iowa a lot here. I'll be candid. I'm stunned that they're not the favorite. I mean, clearly Tennessee's roster is getting love here for just being more talented. But this Tennessee team has not been good. They've had to play really good defense to stay in football games. That's what happened to them in the Bama game. They simply couldn't score. And the defense couldn't hold up to keep it tight. Bama got away from them. I don't know how in the world they're going to score very many on this Iowa team. I mean, I know the over-under is 35.5. They're going to fight in a phone booth, and that is made directly for Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
I like them here. That you're getting points is a huge deal. If you've got some balls, you can go ahead and take money line, because I think they may win this game straight up. But I love them getting 5. I like Iowa a lot here because I think this is a 17-14, 14-10, you know, 21-20, something like that kind of game. I mean, it's going to be tight. I will be shocked if it goes over, candidly. So, I mean, I think it's a 17-14 kind of game.
You get you a 7-point teaser and you could tease LSU down to 3 and Iowa up to plus 12. Ooh, what a fun ticket that would be to sit around on a Saturday tomorrow morning just drinking Bloody Marys going, oh, these are gross bets. I'm going to sit and watch all these things. Because nothing screams good time other than cheering for an under. Because I know, because I do it all the fucking time. So anyway, yeah, I lean Iowa. Getting plus 5, there's a lot of – all the money, tickets mainly are on Tennessee. I think that's going to be a lot of public money. I won't be surprised one bit. I would tell you, if you're going to bet Iowa, I would do it now because I would think if the sharp money comes in, it's going to come on the Hawkeyes. And so it'll be interesting to see how this one goes. But that's where I'm at. Next game, Scotty, Alabama-Michigan matchup. 1.5 is the line here. Bama getting 1.5. Bama's getting all the money in the tickets. Over-under's 45. You're seeing all the money in the tickets come to Bama. I mean, it's come to the over at 45, which I think is kind of interesting. These are two interesting teams to me. Michigan, obviously, you know, your head coach has been suspended for half of the season. He missed 6 of their 12 games or 13 games with suspension. There's now talks that he's hired an agent and he could be looking at going to the NFL next year, which I think that's probably a foregone conclusion because I think the NCAA is going to try to exact whatever power they have left to in this situation, which that's a conversation for a different time. But this Michigan team, I thought, has done really good playing bully football most of the season. They did it against a Penn State team. They got all, you know, galvanized to do that. They stumbled their way into the, you know, got through the Ohio State game and then have played really good, solid football season long. This Alabama team was a team that people threw in the garbage after week three when they had lost to Texas and then went down and played South Florida in the rain, brought in the other two quarterbacks that couldn't get anything done. They've rolled back to Milroe, and you've watched Milroe progress as the season's gone on to be a leader, to be a better player, to take this team to higher levels, and the defense has started to step up as well. I'm rolling with the dog here, man. Give me Bama. And it's the public side of this game, but I'm just going to play it on the money line and get plus 105. I think Bama, you're not going to be able to bully this team, in my opinion. I think they want to get in a slugfest, and Saban's like, okay, bring it on. And the other thing, too, is you're getting a fully focused Bama team. We've talked about this for years. You give Saban 3 weeks to get ready for a game, or you give Saban that first made-for-TV game, very rarely has Bama been, not shown up for those types of games. Have they not shown up for bowl games? Yeah. But have they not shown up for big games like this? No. Give me Bama plus the points. Give me Bama on the money line. I think Bama beats Michigan and puts Michigan at home. That's my opinion.
It's hard not to go back in your head and just think about – how much the SEC in these kinds of games has just plowed the Big Ten. I mean, just plowed them. I mean, going back to Ohio State and Florida, and when T.J. Ginn ran the opening kickoff back and then got full gas can for the next 59 and a half minutes. That first Urban Meyer natty at Florida. They've really gotten drilled. Urban Meyer's Ohio State team beating Alabama's the only time they haven't gotten whipped is the bottom line, and that was a great Ohio State team. I don't, as much as I love this Michigan team, they don't have the fit. The Big Ten is not, they just do not look impressive, and they did find a way to beat Ohio State, which didn't really surprise me, but did surprise me a little bit. I mean, that game's a rivalry. You know it's the way it's going to be. McCarthy has got to play well if they're going to win this ball game.
Yeah, he hasn't looked good in a while.
Now, I'm not saying that Michigan's not is going to have 50 yards rushing. I'm not saying that. They're not going to line up and just run right over them for 300 yards. It's not happening.
No.
They're not. They're going to make him beat them. And can he do it? And can those wide receivers do it against really good cornerbacks and a really good defensive backfield?
That's the other thing, too.
That's the ball game to me. And I like that being in Nick Saban's hands. When it comes down to DBs being the guys that have got to make the plays, I just feel like they're going to be able to get it done.
Well, Bama's got the two best cornerbacks left in the country that are playing against this Michigan team here. And unless you're a big Michigan fan, you can't tell me the name of a wide receiver on Bama's team that's going to blow the top off this defense. Both of these Bama cornerbacks are going to be first three-round draft picks to go into the NFL. And you can put them out there on an island.
I totally agree.
You could put them out there on the island, and then you can let the defensive line and the trench go to work. And I think it'll be a battle in here. I expect for this to be a really good game. I think Bama wins this game by six or seven, somewhere in there. And I see it being a game where you're just going to have a 28-21 style game, and Bama will have just kind of been ahead the whole time. And that's my prediction for what we're going to get out of this one.
I stand by what I've said all year long when you play Milroe. Michigan has got to understand how fast he is.
Yeah.
When he gets to the corner or gets the ball in his hand. And it generally has taken teams a little while to figure that out. That kid's lightning with the football. And look, Michigan's good and they're talented. And Jim Harbaugh's a great football coach too. This probably is two of the very best coaches in the country. I think Kalen DeBoer is a great football coach too, based on his resume. You look at his record, it's fascinating. I don't mean just at Washington. I mean, the guy's been on some great staffs, but I digress. We'll get to them in a minute. I think Harbaugh's a great football coach too. So I think it's a great coaching matchup. I like Jim Harbaugh as a football coach. Love what he's done at Michigan and bringing Michigan back to what they've done. I just don't know that they have the horsepower to beat this team, even though this isn't the traditional Bama teams. I think the key for Bama is how much do they let Milroe run the football and use him as a runner, really run some spread. They did a lot of it against Georgia, a lot. And if they will do it in this ball game, they got a chance to really separate themselves because they have so much talent around him. The wide receivers at Bama are highly underrated.
Yeah, they've gotten better, really, too, as the season's gone on.
A lot. Well, it's because Milroe's gotten better throwing the football. And so I think they've got some guys that are game changers at wide receiver. And Milroe, if they can get him on the edge and get him running that football kind of in those spread situations, I think Michigan really does have a hard time. Michigan needs to get the lead and chew this game up. They need a lead. They get behind, and McCarthy has to do things out of his comfort zone.
Boom.
And they might get gas canned.
I agree. If Michigan gets down by, I don't know, let's say Michigan gets down by more than a score, more than eight, and they can't turn it pretty quick, I think you could literally live bet it, and you could take a – if you could still get a Bama line at like -4 at that point or something, -3, I would pound it live – because I don't think they can play from behind very well in this spot. I think McCarthy will make a mistake.
I still can't get the TCU game out of my head last year of how bad they blew that game, overthinking what to do. Just line up, run the damn football.
Well, and they looked so bad defensively.
And if they come out like this on Monday, I'm telling you, they're going to be down 14 before they can blink. And they're going to be like, uh-oh, what in the world is going on? And it won't be a furious comeback like that. They will get into trouble throwing the football down the field on this defense.
Yeah, I agree.
Because Saban will be able to drop back into those defenses where he's rolling coverage, and he'll really confuse them. So I think this is going to be a fascinating ball game. Do I think Michigan can win the game? Yes. Do I think they will? No. That's the bottom line.
Next game, Scotty, Texas and Washington, two teams you and I were high on coming into the season. We predicted both would win their conferences. I actually had Texas making it both these teams making it this far.
We have both loved both these teams all year.
Absolutely.
Defensive line at Texas is better than I thought it was going to be.
The defensive line at Texas, I'm going to call it the number one defensive line in the country. You cannot run into this defensive line. It is fantastic. I've gone back and watched some games this season, and they've been good. So let's break this one down. Texas is laying 4 in this spot. Washington's getting 4. Washington's getting most of the money and the tickets. Over-under here is at 63. Money line for Texas is -175. Money line for Washington's +145. You can still get a Washington 6.5-1 ticket to win the Natty if you think this team's actually got a shot. Here's my breakdown of this one, and you tell me what you think. I think from a Texas perspective, I think Sark is a fantastic game planner. One thing I noticed from going back and looking at game flow in this one is the early parts of the game, Sark's definitely got scripted out. And Texas has come out hot early in a lot of these games this season. Ewers, if you get a consistent Ewers, he can manage that offense, and he's got some playmakers that can really make things happen. And so the Texas offense is fascinating to me. It hinges on the fact if Ewers can get it going, because if he can, the run game will open itself up and go from there. Flip side on Washington's defense, this unit plays with a ton of guts. Defensive line, they play aggressive. You saw that if you watched them play through the Oregon game, but this team is susceptible to give up some points. And that's where I think Texas could come in and exploit this team a little bit. Now, on the flip side, I love Kalen DeBoer, and I love his game planning as well. And I think that they're going to struggle to run into this Texas trench, but I think you can big-time exploit Texas on the back end. And the receiving core, even the tight end and the running backs coming out of the backfield from Washington, I think are going to give problems to the – if the offensive line can hold up, because Penix is explosive – I think you're going to see a shit ton of big chunk plays from Washington in this one. Because that's where I would go with it from there. And I think DeBoer can break it down and get him ready. I think he's a fantastic tactician in this one. What are your thoughts?
Best bet I've seen all week on actually any bowl season, any game all year, is Texas gives up some of the highest yards passing outside the hash marks. You know what the number one team in the country is throwing outside the hash marks? The Washington. That is a huge statistic and a stat that Texas has got to fix. And if they do that, what's that going to do? They're going to have to open up the middle of the field.
Yeah.
which is going to put those running back. And look, Johnson's a really good running back. He catches football. Everybody forgets. Caught a lot of damn balls playing for Mike Leach. You know, don't underestimate his ability to catch football and run with it after he does it. I think Texas is going to win this game. There's going to be a bunch of points scored. They better be ready to score 30, 35 if they're planning to win, because I think Washington's going to score 30 or 35. So I think this is going to be a really high-scoring game. I think it's going to be a great game to watch. I like Washington here straight up. I've liked them all year. I like them here. I think you're going to see Washington and Bama playing for the natty. I think Bama is a much better matchup for Texas. So if they win this ball game, I think Texas is going to win the national championship.
But interesting.
That's the bottom line. I think that this is a bad matchup for them. The weaknesses that Texas has are some of the strengths that Washington has. I also think this offensive line, which is a really good unit, the Joe Moore Award-winning offensive line in the country, is sick and damn tired of hearing how good this Texas – and let me tell you something. Offensive linemen are nasty. I don't know how many of you know them, but good offensive lines are edgy. They're nasty. Okay, guys, they're on the verge of dirty. I mean that as a compliment.
Oh, yeah.
That's not my grief. That's how great offensive linemen play. They've got that little bit of just screw you in them. They get that grit in their teeth, and I guarantee you this team's got it, because that's all they've heard about all for literally 3 weeks. And let me tell you, they're going to be motivated to come out to play. I'm fascinated to see how that matchup wins, because if they win strength on strength, they're going to win this football game. They're going to win it comfortably.
I read a fantastic article the other day about the culture at Washington that DeBoer and the staff have put in place there. And, you know, you look at this team, they weren't picked to win the Pac-12. They weren't picked to beat Oregon the first time. They were
1-point dogs the second time they'd already beaten them.
They were totally disrespected in that game and just, like, kept their mouths shut. It's like, let's go through here. And they beat the shit. I mean, I know the score. They beat Oregon in that last game. Yeah. But it's been quiet. And so I love the culture of this squad, and I love the grittiness of it, the athleticism, and you know, I Penix, another guy you talk about, he was at Indiana, had that great COVID season when Kalen DeBoer was there. No one thought much of him. He gets to Washington. He's going to end up in the NFL. He's got a – being left-handed, it's kind of a weird motion for me to watch, but the guy's good.
Mark, I also think one thing that people are missing in this football game is look at how many really good quarterbacks that the Washington defense has played this year. Quarterback at Arizona was great.
Yeah.
After they made the switch, that kid was really good. They played USC. They played Nick twice. They played Washington State. They played Ungalalele at Oregon State. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
They played a great – you know what this team's made of. They're tested. I mean, look, I understand Michigan State wasn't very good. That's a really nice road win early in the year that set them off and running.
Sure.
Because that team hadn't mailed it in at that point. This is a team that you know what you're going to get. They also played Utah. You know?
Yeah.
Let's not overestimate. This team's battle tested. And I think every bit as much or more so than Texas is, yours is not going to be anything they hadn't seen before.
Yeah, I agree.
And while he's a great athlete and a good player, and they got great skill positions, this is not going to shock. This isn't just going to blow them away. They played really talented teams with really good quarterbacks multiple times this year. And so I think that helps. That's another reason I really like this team. And I think people are overlooking it, that this defense has played some of the best quarterbacks in this country and have held up and gone 13-0. It's hard to go undefeated. Neither one of these teams were – nobody but Michigan was good enough to do it. Besides, you know, Florida State was, but I came at a little bit different deal. So I think people are really disrespecting how good this Washington team is.
No, Washington's undefeated. They're 13-0 in this one.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah,
saying
it's really hard. 13-0,
and Michigan and Texas isn't, and Bama isn't. Yeah. You know, it's, you know, I think teams are looking at this, and I look at these teams, and to me, Washington is as good as anyone. their key to me to win this football game is how well they can stop the run.
Yeah, no, I agree. So I'm leaning Washington. I got a couple other bets in this one. I'm going to take a unit, I'm going to cut it in half, and I'm going to bet the over in the first quarter at 13.5. And then I'm also going to bet the other half of that unit, and I'm going to put it on the over in the first half at 31.5. Because, like I said, I think both of these teams come out, and I think the game planning, you're going to see some – I think where this game is won is who makes the adjustments as the game rolls on. Because I think both of these offenses can put it up, and they're both – but I think they're both susceptible. I can see two touchdowns taking place in the first quarter here because I think somebody's going to try to get explosive right out of the gate and try to get this thing rolling for them. And so that's where I like it. But I like UW. Give me the four. Give me UW on the money line. That's where I'm going to roll with this one.
I saw one of our listeners posting, he's a Washington fan, and he had a pretty long thread on this game. It was interesting, but the most interesting part was, sorry, I forgot that the bowl game was against Washington last year when he lost his mind when the kid got, I forgot about that. You know, how much does Sark's past with Washington impact him in this bowl game? That's something Washington doesn't have to worry about. That's, the bowler doesn't have to worry. There is no, there's nothing for him to worry about. Are there demons in the closet, you know? And that is an interesting question. I mean, I know it's a Washington fan posing it, but I still think that is intriguing because, look, there isn't any doubt he was overly hyped for that game, the way he responded to what was a nothing deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really nothing.
And I think the other thing with Washington, you know, I listened to a lot of the press conference when they had the media days over there. You can tell that team's loose. I mean, they've kind of been the underdog all the way through this season. They're coming in here the underdog. Unless you're a Pac-12 fan or just a college football junkie like us, you couldn't name anybody on Washington's team. And so, you know, I think they're coming in loose. They're looking good here. I like UW through this one. I think if UW gets to the Natty and we get an Alabama-UW national championship game, I mean, I'll be okay because I got tickets on both of them, but I'll give UW a nod in that one too. I mean, I think this is a really good team. That's just, it's really been over. I mean, it sounds crazy that they're overlooked going into the, you know, with the Final Four, but I just think this is a really good football team.
The Pac-12 was a really good league, yeah. And I think people are missing that. That to go undefeated with everything they had to play, because again, go back to the quarterbacks I just mentioned. To go undefeated in that and against those types of players repeatedly is something that is a statement in my mind.
Yeah. So, no, and I think Penix was hurt for part of the season, too. And I think that's the reason we saw some of that.
Well, when they struggled with the run, they were banged up on that defensive line. They're healthy now.
Yeah.
So, again, that's the reason I say that's the key. Where they had trouble and where they almost lost, teams could run the football on them. If Texas can run the football, that's a huge deal in this ball game. Can they? We'll see. Flip side, how does that offensive line block that defensive line from Texas, which is a really, really good offensive line for Washington? I think those are the keys. How well is Texas running, and how well can they control the line of scrimmage on the defensive side of the football? I think those are the two keys to the ballgame.
No, I agree. Folks, that being said, we'll sign off for this one. We'll be back at you after we find out who's playing for the national championship. And see if we can't figure out and squeeze one more winner out of the season before we get going. Hit us up on Twitter if you got any questions. Give us a share, a like, all those things. We love them. Enjoy the feedback. Enjoy the semifinals, and we'll talk to you next week.